And welcome to The Farming Week, the podcast from Agriland that keeps you up to date on all the latest in Irish agriculture. I'm Megan O'Brien and I'm joined by my colleague Aisling O'Brien, and together we'll bring you up to speed on some of the biggest stories of the week. So Aisling, we'll start with what was a pretty big story in the poultry sector this week. Look, not too long after the country was dealing with several outbreaks of bird flu in late last year, another blow this week. 8 broiler flocks tested positive for the presence of salmonella this week. It's a bit of a blow, but and it raises questions around the food chain and consumer confidence and everything, which is important to address. But first of all, Aisling, what do we know so far?
Yeah, so earlier this week, we got confirmation from the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Megan, that, as you said, 8 Irish broiler flocks, so they're chickens that are bred specifically for meat production, they tested positive for Salmonella typhimurium. So that is the particular type of bacteria that was involved here. Now, they said that all flocks that were impacted have been restricted and were under department controls and were going to be culled humanely. And the Food Safety Authority of Ireland is involved here as well, Megan. As you rightly said, this would be a cause for concern as these chickens were destined for the food chain. But they confirmed that they were all going to be culled, all of these infected birds, and that they would not enter the food chain. So there would be no threat to these birds entering the food chain and becoming a risk there. And they said that this on-farm incident had actually arisen following a food recall that we'd reported on previously as well last week from Western Brand. And the poultry product producer recalled some expired batches of various raw chicken products last week due to the detection of salmonella. So the department said that the flocks involved here, Megan, are located in a number of locations across the country, and their officials are working closely with the Food Safety Authority of Ireland and the National Reference Laboratory for Salmonella in order to determine the cause of this outbreak. And I suppose it's important to note, thankfully, that there are no human cases of illness linked to this investigation currently to date. And the Food Safety Authority said that salmonella is the second most common cause of bacterial foodborne illness in Ireland. And, people infected with this bacteria, they typically, Megan, would develop symptoms between 12 and 36 hours, but that can range up to 72 hours. And it's usually, I suppose, a common symptom is something like diarrhea, and it can also involve fever, headache, and abdominal cramps. And it usually lasts for 4 to 7 days. Sometimes it can require hospital admission for maybe more vulnerable members of society, but generally it doesn't require that. But as I said, thankfully, no human cases of the illness linked to this investigation, and the birds have been culled, have not entered the food chain. So it's very important to stress that as well. Now, as you rightly said, something like this happening to the poultry sector and to a farmer or a producer is a devastating blow. And the Irish Farmers Association Poultry Committee Chair Nigel Sweetnam said this week that cases of salmonella were devastating for the flock owners concerned. And he said again that the affected flocks were restricted and that there was no threat to human health. And again, he urged everybody to be vigilant in terms of biosecurity in poultry production.
Yeah, look, I suppose no doubt that it is devastating for the sector. They're really just recovering from those bird flu problems last year. And of course, by the symptoms that you described there, Aisling, it's not something that anybody wants to contract. But it is really important to stress that point, that the FSAI, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland, is involved, and they are trying to reassure people that they don't need to take actions, avoiding the chicken aisle in the supermarket, not buying any products, things like that, that, people can be reassured that the food on the shelves is safe to eat. Aisling, we'll move on, because another story that Agriland broke this day last week was the exemption for the controlled burning of green waste generated in agricultural clearing was to be extended. Now, this had been an ongoing issue. There were calls for this a while ago now. And despite a hesitancy among the government not to extend the rules, we've seen a bit of a U-turn. So first of all, Aisling, what will farmers be allowed to do, and when will they be allowed to do it? Because I understand that there are some restrictions here.
Yeah, so Megan, as you said last Friday, friend of the podcast and AgriLand technical beef specialist Breffni O'Brien broke the story that farmers would be permitted to burn piles of bushes, or also known as green agricultural waste, by the department on their lands this year between specific dates. And later that day, we did get confirmation that the regulation had been signed off on. So Megan, what's involved here? Well, the extension, which was previously rolled over five times, did come to an end on January 1st. But as a result now of these regulations being signed off, and it means that the burning of agricultural green waste on farm can continue now until March 1st. It'll then close and it'll reopen for another 2 month period later this year between September 1st and November 30th, which will allow farmers to deal with any of the waste that was accumulated on their farm in the intervening period. So the regulation was drafted by the Department of the Environment, Climate and Communications in consultation with the Department of Agriculture. And in its announcement, it's important to note, Megan, here that the Department of the Environment stressed that this exemption only applies to cut green agricultural waste. It doesn't apply to anything else on farms, such as waste, plastic or tires. They cannot be burned on farms. So this only applies to cut green agricultural waste only. And they also stress that burning should be as a last resort, and farmers should consider the waste hierarchy and maybe consider other ways of disposing of green waste on their farms as well. And interesting to note, Megan, this is far from over, because they said that it was never intended that this exemption would be extended forever or in perpetuity, as they said, and it will be the final time that such an extension is granted. So the decision to reverse this and do a bit of a U-turn this year came from a feasibility study that was commissioned by the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine to examine some alternative measures to the burning of green agricultural waste in Ireland. And I suppose that study did warn that, you know, that this burning isn't ideal and it can't continue forever. And officials from both departments are set to continue work on identifying and examining measures which would ensure that the agricultural sector can be supported in transitioning over to more sustainable management practices, as they say. So it looks like we will have that option on farms this year, but definitely doesn't look like it's going to continue into the future.
Yeah, Aisling, I think you're dead right. I mean, there was a slim chance that this exemption would be rolled over again. And now that it has been, I suppose it's important for farmers to appreciate that and to remember to stick to those guidelines and those timelines as well. And look, I'm sure in the future we'll be looking at different regulations around alternatives. But we will move on for the moment, because I want to discuss an event that our colleagues Frances McDonnell and Eva Osborne Sherlock attended this week. That was the National Dialogue on Women in Agriculture, and that took place in Portlaoise on Wednesday. Now, there was a suite of speakers at this, but of course it was opened by the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue, and he expressed some lovely sentiments in his address. Have a listen to this.
While some 12% of herd numbers are held by women, that does not tell by any means the whole story of the effort, skill and sacrifice made by women on the family farm. I see that from my own childhood growing up in Donegal. My mother Mary was a great farmer, certainly better than me, but that's certainly not a benchmark to go by.
So Aisling, what else did the minister have to say at this event, Aisling? What did he raise during it?
Yes, Megan, I suppose very interesting that this event was held on St. Bridget's Day, obviously an important date in the calendar for women around the country. And of course, we're getting the first bank holiday this weekend, Megan, yes, to mark that feast day. Probably many farmers wondering what a bank holiday is, but yes, it is taking place on Monday, just to mark it in your calendar in case you weren't aware. Well, along with, I suppose, describing the crucial role that women play in agriculture, Minister Charlie McConlogue did acknowledge, Megan, that agriculture is still largely male dominated and that only 12% of herd numbers are actually held by women. And he said that women make up only 27% of the 280,000 people working on farms in Ireland and just 13% of farm holders. But he did say in the programme for government, it did recognise the need to do more on gender equality. And agriculture, he said, was no exception to this. And as part of that, he warned state bodies to improve the representation of women on their boards. Okay. And under Charlie McConlogue's remit, there's actually 12 state bodies that he has responsibility for. And he said that there was an underrepresentation of women on these boards and that government policy has set a target of at least 40% of each gender on state boards. So he's called on them to pull up their socks. So I suppose the key aim of the event, Megan, was to examine and discuss maybe what policies or what structural impediments there are to prevent women taking up more active roles in farming. And it did highlight some of the issues through some high profile speakers from the worlds of farming and the agri-food sector as well, who shared their experiences and examined, I suppose, what potential barriers there may be to women having success in the sector. And one of those was the chief executive of Glanbia PLC, Siobhan Talbot.
It's a fantastic industry to be part of. Women have been heavily involved for many, many decades, possibly not recognised as such. So this creates the dialogue to have that seen.
Yeah, Megan, so that was Siobhan Talbot, the chief executive of Glanbia PLC. Now, according to Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Pippa Hackett, not everyone finds it easy being a woman in agriculture. And she's determined that this event, this national dialogue, would not just be a box ticking exercise, and that the feedback from the event would be included into a report which would inform government policy. And some of the advice and the feedback that we heard at the event came from the likes of former German Minister for Agriculture, Julia Kochner.
We want to bring women together from the agricultural and food sector in order to support them, in order to encourage them to educate lifelong.
Yeah, so one of the key messages from the conference in County Laois there was that women working in farming and agriculture need a support infrastructure to succeed, and that flexibility and self-belief are also really important. There was definitely a strong feeling of that, and sometimes women are too hard on themselves and that some may suffer from this so-called imposter syndrome, Aisling. And when in reality, as Minister Hackett pointed out on the day, that they are actually, quote, pushing the boundaries of traditional roles and are achieving the very best for farming across the country. That was a quote from the minister. It's lovely to have these events to recognise the important role that women do play in agriculture and farming, but unfortunately those figures do remain low, as you quite rightly said, Aisling. And hopefully we will see them, you know, improve over the coming years, certainly going that direction, I think. But we'll move on now, because it was you, Aisling, that had a very interesting story this week that readers engaged quite well with, I think. And that was when you spoke to Kerry TD Michael Healy-Ray about how the Department of Agriculture may have endangered the lives of some sheep farmers over the recent months. Will you tell us a little bit more about this, Aisling? This was quite interesting, and it was something that I wouldn't have realised at all until you actually wrote the story.
Yeah, I suppose with the daffodils peaking up now, and we are getting slightly longer days now that we're into the Celtic spring, I think, not technically the Metairn spring yet. But the recent cold snap might be a little bit of a distant memory for some people, but definitely not for some hill sheep farmers down here in Kerry. And Michael Healy-Ray, as you said, the Independent TD, has made a pretty bold claim here, saying that the department actually endangered the lives of some farmers. Because he appreciates the work that the department and their inspectors do, but he felt that they made a grave mistake in recent weeks by insisting that these farmers go up onto snow-covered hills and bring down their sheep for the purposes of an inspection. Now, he did note the conditions up on the mountain at the time. There was heavy snow drifts, and Kerry Mountain Rescue Team had actually advised people against going up the mountains unnecessarily. And he claimed that the department refused multiple requests from the farmers involved. They wanted to defer the inspections for a week until the weather improved. But unfortunately, the department obviously dug their heels in this case, and the farmers and their dogs had to go up into the snow drifts, according to Michael Healy-Ray. And he said that they could have lost their own lives, they could have lost their dogs, and they could have driven their sheep into snowdrifts. So have a listen to this, Megan. This is what Michael Healy-Ray described as what some farmers experienced when they were up on the mountain.
I had one man who inadvertently found himself up to his belly button in snow. Now, you tell me that any man or woman should have to do that. Like, that's wrong. I know that my guide in life has never asked somebody to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. Well, all I can tell you is I wouldn't like to be up to my belly button and snow bringing in sheep. So I wouldn't ask or expect that anybody else should do so either.
So yeah, up to your belly button in snow, Megan. I don't think it's something that any of us would like to do. And I think Michael Healy Ray's main message here was that this should never happen again. And as he said, like, this is not the Swiss Alps. Snow to this degree wouldn't generally stay on the mountains for very long in Ireland. So, you know, maybe that a bit of common sense, he said, should come into play here. And he did raise it with the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, through a parliamentary question. Now, of course, the Minister did note that EU regulations around direct payment schemes, there are requirements involved in terms of inspections, and in inspections of flocks are also required with the sheep welfare scheme. And those inspections are currently going on nationwide. And the inspections require all officials to count the sheep that are present on a holding, and to carry out checks when it comes to ear tags and maintenance records as well. So he said that this is all to make sure that payments get to farmers, and to, you know, make sure that farmers don't get penalised under these schemes. But he did say that his officials in the department do take account of the unique circumstances in hill areas, and that they're fully aware of the difficulties that can be encountered, including poor weather conditions, and that they do their utmost to take this into account when planning on-farm inspection work. So hopefully Michael Healy-Ray's pleas won't be left unheeded, and that they will take some account of that, because not a great situation for some of those farmers to be involved in.
No, definitely not. I suppose the thing that came to my mind when I read this story was that actually, as the deputy quite rightly said, it's not the Swiss Alps. And how often do, you know, serious snowdrifts like this happen in Ireland? And one might think that, you know, some provisions could be made, whether it was a day or two late or whatever it might be, because that snow is not going to last forever up there. So, you know, you think in the interest of safety. But yeah, look, hopefully his complaints haven't fallen on deaf ears and we don't see something like this again, because, you know, as we're always saying in the agricultural industry, you know, safety really needs to be paramount all the time. And we talk so much about farm safety now. So hopefully those calls will be heeded. I want to move on now, Aisling, and unfortunately this is a very sad story. There was a lot of sadness this week among the sector when we heard of the passing of a former Irish Farmers Association president, Padraig Walsh. Aisling, by all accounts, this man was a very prominent figure in the world of agriculture, and this was slightly unexpected, I believe. So would you fill us in on this, Aisling?
Yeah, I think the agricultural community is still reeling from the shock of Padraig Walsh's sudden passing on Wednesday. When the news broke, a real sense of shock and sadness across the community. Padraig Walsh had a very successful career in both dairy farming and farm politics, a stalwart of farm politics, it has to be said. And he became very highly thought of and very highly respected figure in the agricultural scene, both here at home and at a European level as well. Now, he was based in County Leash, and he was the president of MOCRA, which I suppose was known as MOCRA na Ferma back then, in the 1980s. And I suppose many people will know him from his connection with the IFA, where he was president from 2006 to 2010. And along with that, Megan, he also served as the president of the European Farmers Union, COPA. That term actually finished in 2011. He was also a member of the European Economic and Social Committee in Brussels for several years, served on the board of FBD from 2006 to 2010, rejoined that board in 2011, was also chair of Farmer Business Developments PLC, and he was a Nuffield scholar. So it has to be said, an absolutely impressive CV, a very full life, and a life dedicated to farmers and farming as well. And loads of tributes, Megan, coming in from across the farming world in the wake of Padraig's passing. Led by Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue. He described him as somebody who represented all sections of farming with commitment and distinction. And in a message to its members, the IFA expressed shock at the news. And IFA President Tim Cullinan said that Padraig Walsh was a passionate advocate for the development of the farming sector and always insisted that science was the way forward. And he added that Walsh was fearless in defending farmers in many campaigns, both at home and abroad. And as I mentioned earlier, Padraig Walsh was a Nuffield scholar. He was indeed one of the first Nuffield scholars back in 1995 in Ireland. And the chair of Nuffield Ireland, Joe Leonard, issued a statement as well saying that Padraig was an exceptional leader. He'd worked tirelessly for the betterment of farmers and agriculture, and he'll be sorely, sorely missed. And a really shocking, sad news breaking this week for the farming world. Padraig is survived by his wife, Ella, and four children. And I'm sure you'll join me, Megan. We extend our deepest sympathies to the family at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like he was a very well-respected man and a man that worked very hard for an industry that he was, you know, really passionate about, taking on so many different roles. But look, of course, Agriland extends its sympathies to friends and family and any associates during what is no doubt a very hard time at the minute. Aisling, you know, that's all we have time for this week. I suppose we'll be back next Friday with another episode of The Farming Week. But until then, don't forget to rate, review and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you go for that kind of thing. And in the meantime, take care.